Well, my dear friends, this is a homily that comes with a homework assignment. Seriously, I'm going to ask you to let me give you, all of you here, all of you joining us by radio and television around the world, I'm going to ask you to let me give to you two documents that were written by our United States bishops within the past 2 years that critically address one of the most important things that Christians need to be thinking about during these days, weeks, and months. And it has a lot to do with the readings that we've been hearing the last several days from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, as you know, we are still in the Easter season. And shortly after the glory of the resurrection came the conflict that the apostles who were proclaiming the resurrection ran into with the civil authorities and the religious authorities. And you know what? That conflict hasn't stopped ever since. It hasn't stopped. And it's not going to stop until the Lord comes again. The authorities were annoyed that the apostles were proclaiming the resurrection of the dead in Jesus Christ. But they could not proclaim it. Why? Because it was true. They saw him, they touched him, they ate with him. He was alive. How could we not proclaim this? How can we not proclaim it today? And in the reading of yesterday that comes just before the one we heard today, the apostles sum up the matter this way. They say, we must obey God rather than men. Now, in our day, in the United States of America, we hear a lot of talk about the separation of church and state. And we will hear more about this as we enter into the election season. The year 2000 brings us to critical national elections in our country. Now, the church has to speak out on certain issues. The church proclaims the gospel whether it's an election season or not. And the fact that it's an election season, and the fact that politicians and candidates are going to be debating issues back and forth all over the place, does not, for one instant, does not in the slightest degree mean that we, from the pulpits of America and the world, have to stop talking about the issues just because they happen to be the same issues that the politicians are throwing around. And that has got to be crystal clear. That has got to be crystal clear to our government. There is nothing that this government is going to do, or any government around the world, to silence the word of God. You better get used to it, if I can put it in those terms. We are not going to back off either from the proclamation of the truth of the gospel or from the proclamation of the moral requirements of the gospel. Now, just the other day, I was in Washington, D.C., standing in front of the Supreme Court with a lot of other people, because the Supreme Court is hearing a case regarding partial birth abortion, one of the most horrifying procedures that you could ever describe. And we were there praying, primarily praying, preaching on the public sidewalks, as we have every right to do. And there were people there also from the other side of the abortion debate. And one of them came over to me and said, Father, what about separation of church and state? How does that apply to all this? And I answered the question this way. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Suppose a religion came along, and part of their worship service was to torture and kill children. Can you still have the separation of church and state, and yet have the state come in and say, you cannot allow that to take place in your worship service? Would the state have the right to put a stop to the torture and death of innocent children in a worship service of a new religion that came along? I don't think there's a person who would disagree. But certainly that would be legitimate. You would have to have you'd have to stop that. You can say, yeah, sure, you can believe whatever you want, but you can't torture and kill a child in your worship service. So if it's okay for the state to say to a church,
that we can't torture and kill a child. Tell me why it's not okay for the church to say to the state that you can't allow the torture and death of a child. It's not an issue of the separation of church and state. It's an issue of fundamental human rights. And the purpose of government is to protect those fundamental human rights, first and foremost among which is the right to life. Now, the homework assignment. Living the Gospel of Life, a challenge to American Catholics. Now, this is not a 100-page document, okay? It's not even a 50-page document. This is a very brief document that can be read in one sitting, and I want to give it to you. And I'm going to give you some quotes from this document today, because this is absolutely critical that we first read, second, understand, and third, shout from the rooftops the contents of this marvelous document. And here's a quote based on what I was just talking about. Laws that permit abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide are profoundly unjust, and we should work peacefully and tirelessly to oppose and change them. Because they are unjust, they cannot bind citizens in conscience, be supported, acquiesced in, or recognized as valid. Now this is powerful language. What the bishops are saying here is not that laws allowing abortion are bad laws. Not saying that. He's saying they're not laws at all. They're completely lacking in validity. The state has absolutely no authority to permit not even one single abortion. And no matter how many decrees they want to pass, and no matter how many justices want to dress up in robes and say that it's okay, they can say it again and again and again until they run out of breath, and they can use up all the ink that they have in their pens, no matter how many presidents or congresses or governors or kings or queens, it amounts to zero. Absolutely zero. This is nothing new. This is what the apostles said. This is what the bishops said. This is what the Holy Father said in the gospel. This is nothing new. Except that we have to keep repeating it. And we have to apply it when it comes to election time. Not being afraid to put this into action. Now, I am not saying, the Pope is not saying, the bishops are not saying, nobody here is saying that abortion is the only issue that we have to pay attention to in the elections. In fact, what I'm going to say to you is exactly what the bishops say. Namely, that there is a broad spectrum of issues that we need to be attentive to, concerned about, and actively involved in. The church embraces what we call a consistent ethic of life. Now, some of these issues, well, again, let's look at the words of the bishops that are in Living the Gospel of Life, and also in this other document, Faithful Citizenship. The Administrative Committee of the United States Catholic Conference, every 4 years, issues a brief document, again, very brief, giving us guidance as to what issues we need to be paying attention to and how we ought to evaluate the candidates who are presenting themselves for public office in our land. And both of these documents essentially tell us the same thing, and again let me quote the bishops themselves. Adopting a consistent ethic of life, the Catholic Church promotes a broad spectrum of issues, seeking to protect human life and promote human dignity from the inception of life to its final moment. Opposition to abortion and euthanasia does not excuse indifference to those who suffer from poverty, violence, and injustice. Any politics of human life must work to resist the violence of war and the scandal of capital punishment. Any politics of human dignity must seriously address issues of racism, poverty, hunger, employment, education, housing, and health care. Therefore, Catholics should eagerly involve themselves as advocates for the weak and marginalized in all these areas. Catholic public officials are obliged to address each of these issues,
as they seek to build consistent policies which promote respect for the human person at all stages of life. So we say amen to that. But there's another side to the coin, and that is that within the consistent ethic, there are some issues that are more fundamental than others, some problems that are more urgent than others. And again, this is not coming from me. Let me simply quote the words of our bishops. I quote. They listed all these issues, and now I quote. But being right in such matters can never excuse a wrong choice regarding direct attacks on innocent human life. Indeed, the failure to protect and defend life in its most vulnerable stages renders suspect any claims to the rightness of positions in other matters affecting the poorest and least powerful of the human community. And one of the key spokespersons of church history in our country regarding the consistent ethic of life was Joseph Cardinal Bernardin of Chicago, and he marvelously explained what this means and also explained what it doesn't mean. And he also said the following words. And this is from a lecture he gave in New York in 1986. He said, the fundamental human right is to life. From the moment of conception until natural death, it is the source of all other rights, including the right to health care. And then in a talk he had given 2 years earlier in St. Louis, he said the following words. This is Cardinal Bernardin. A consistent ethic of life does not equate the problem of taking life, for example through abortion and in war, with the problem of promoting human dignity through humane programs of nutrition, health care, and housing. Now, the consistent ethics identifies all of these as moral issues. They are all linked, and that's what I'm saying too. But the point is that certain things are more fundamental than others. Certain things are bigger problems than others. If in your country you can't even acknowledge the right to life, if the government is saying these children can be put to death and thrown away, then what does the right to housing and health care and education and employment mean to a dead child? Does the government have the right to say that certain people don't even have the right to live? I have a question this morning. How much longer are we going to tolerate this? Some people go to the polls and they say, oh, well, yeah, this candidate looks good, that one looks good, and it's going to include this program, and this policy sounds pretty good, and that policy sounds pretty good. And they're ignoring the most fundamental issue. It goes back to the Declaration of Independence. It doesn't go back to the platform of any particular political party. It doesn't go back to the statements of any particular candidate. It goes back to the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, first of all, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. To secure these rights, not to give them, and certainly not to take them away. My dear friends, my message to you here today is very simple. The bishops have told us, the Holy Father has told us, and we must continue to remind one another that to be a Christian in our day does not mean to retreat into the privacy of our homes and our churches and pray about what we believe. It means to go out into the public square. It means to go into the halls of government, and it means to go into the voting booth and take those convictions and make them real and change the policies of this nation so that we have human life protected once again in every stage and in every condition. And if we sit back and don't do anything, then the responsibility is as much ours as it is for the pro-choice politicians. We will be judged just as much as they will be judged for allowing a scandal like this to take place. And we're not just talking about Catholic politicians. The bishops have some very strong quotes, so we don't have the time now to read all the things they say about so-called pro-choice politicians. They have some very strong language in here. You know, some people say, well, why don't the bishops do more about it? I would suggest that instead of criticizing the bishops, we read their words and then we start criticizing the politicians and say to them, when are you going to start listening to the bishops?
if you claim to be a Catholic. But it's not just the Catholics. Any person in public office who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ and at the same time is pro-choice on abortion, what I say to you is stop being a scandal to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is absolutely incompatible with the gospel. And even for those who have no religious faith at all, it's incompatible with the principles on which this nation was founded. The apostles did not just proclaim principles, however. They proclaimed a person. A person who is risen from the dead. A person who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A person whose kingdom lasts forever. And a person to whose kingdom we owe allegiance before we owe any allegiance to any earthly authority. And that person is Jesus Christ. May we worship Him and follow Him and apply His teachings to this nation and this world as never before, so that we too may stand with the apostles and say, we must obey God rather than men. And in Jesus Christ is the only salvation of this nation and of the world. Amen.
This is Father Frank Pavone. Thank you for listening to this homily. I invite you to be in contact with me because Priests for Life is now making available educational materials to instruct and inspire Christians to be active in the national elections. We have bulletin inserts taking quotations from the documents of the bishops, Living the Gospel of Life and Faithful Citizenship. These camera-ready bulletin inserts are completely free and can be used in parishes, in newsletters of various organizations, or in any way you can use them to spread the message. We also have available for free the documents mentioned in this homily, Living the Gospel of Life and Faithful Citizenship. We also have other audio tapes and other resources for those who wish to learn more about the political responsibility of Christians. Contact us at Priests for Life. You may call us toll-free at 888-PFL-3448. You may write to us at P.O. Box 141172, Staten Island, New York, 10314. And you may email us at pfl@priestsforlife.org. The tape you just heard, as well as other audio resources, can also be obtained on our website, www.priestsforlife.org. Thank you, and God bless you.